the word of God. It is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. Lord, open my ears to receive it and prepare my heart to contain it. I submit my will to it as the final authority in my life. Speak now, Lord Jesus, while I listen. Thank you. Please be seated. The Lord be with you. This morning, grace, mercy, and peace come to you from God our Father, His beloved Son, Jesus Christ, and the Holy Spirit who calls us into faith. So, here this morning, the topic of our message today talks about faith as God's legal tender. Faith as God's legal tender. And you all know that every country has a legal tender or currency that is used to make purchases. All right? If you live in that country, you have to use that money to do that. And so we want to look at God's currency today. And we're looking at faith as God's legal currency. So here's one thing that I do very well. I do this quite well. And my family would attest to this. And what it is I will often leave the house without my wallet. Okay? I leave the house without my wallet, and I go to the store. And I enter the store, and I get to the very thing that I want to buy, and I pick it up and realize I don't have my wallet. And it becomes very discouraging and frustrating that I cannot buy that thing because I don't have my wallet on me. And I'm standing in the store thinking, you know, these people here should know me by now. I've been here several times. I wonder if it would be possible to go and talk to somebody, you know, and explain to them that I do have money, but I didn't bring my wallet. And so I've been trying to bargain to get this thing and go back home. Maybe I'll come back and bring my wallet and pay for it later on. It doesn't work that way. You have to have your wallet to buy stuff from the store. No matter how many times you've been in a store, no matter how many times you've made connection with people who work in the store, you still have to have money to buy stuff when you get in the store. And without your wallet, you can't do it. Well, far too many Christians do this when trying to access the storehouse of heaven. And God has given the church a currency just for the storehouse of heaven. He's giving us the currency called faith. And what we need to do with this is to use that to access heaven. God knows that in order for him to do business with earth, there has to be a currency with which that business is transacted, all right? And so this is why at the very beginning of the new birth in Christ, at the very beginning of new birth, the process begins with faith, all right? It is through faith that one is born in or is birthed into the new life. It starts with faith. And the Bible tells us in Romans chapter 5, verse 1, therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. So faith brings us in. So an illustration of this is just like how a baby is born or brought into the world. And the parents of the newborn has to be economically ready to bring a child into the world because it takes money to take care of the child. And sometimes some parents would take their children or the child and give it up for adoption. And one of the primary reasons why parents would do that is because they don't have the money to take care of that child. So they do that. All right? So we need money to be able to take care of children. And as they grow up and age and get older, they need to learn how to use money. Right? So money was not only used at the point of birth or at the point of raising this child up, but money, they need to learn how to use it as they grow older because that is going to define their lives as they grow older in this life. So they need to know how to spend money because they, in order to live a successful life on the earth, you need money. You need to learn how to budget. You need to learn how to spend. You need to learn when to spend. You need to learn the difference between the $20 bill and the $100 bill and all these things. And so the kids need to learn that as they grow up and get older. So it is with faith, folks. We don't only need faith for the new birth experience where a person gets born again through faith, and that's it, all right? But we also need it for the new life experience, not only the new birth experience, but the new life experience. So this new life, this new kingdom life, this new Christ life that we have now, that we are living in, we need faith to live through and live by it. It is by faith, my friends. All right? And so we need to have enough faith to be able to live the Christian life that God has called us to live. The scripture says in Romans 5, verse 1, therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. So the illustration tells us that we need faith to live through this life, live the Christian life on the earth. Without faith, we can't do it. So we don't only need faith for the new birth experience, but also for the new life experience. This is why over and again in the gospel, we find people who were considered to have a certain amount of faith. As you read through the gospel, all right, an example of a little class faith is seen in Matthew 17, verse 20. In Matthew 17, 20, Jesus said, because you have so little faith, truly I tell you, if you have faith as small as a mustard seed, you can say to this mountain, move from here to there, and it will move. Nothing will be impossible. All right? So here was a situation where Jesus had gone up on the mountain. I think it was the hoster of the Mount of Transfiguration. He comes back down and meets the disciples at the bottom of the mount, there with a boy who was demon-possessed, and the parents had brought the child to them to cure the child. And they have been praying, doing all this stuff. Nothing happened. Jesus comes, and at one command, the child is healed. So they're walking, going and asking, but how you were able to do this, and we couldn't do it? And so Jesus goes into this whole explanation of why he was able to do it and why they were not able to do it. He says, because you don't have enough faith. Your faith is too small to be able to do this. All right? And so Jesus talks about it. But here's another situation with someone with great faith, as is seen in our gospel reading today from Matthew 15, verse 21 to 28. And Jesus talks about this lady who happens to be a foreigner who had come to Jesus, who lives in Israel, and she comes to Jesus, and she's asking him to heal her daughter who is demon-possessed. And let's look at the dialogue and see what happened in here as we talk about faith as our liquor tender this morning. The first thing we look at the story is the woman's prayer. In Matthew chapter 15, verse 22 through 23, it reads, a Canaanite woman from that vicinity came to him, crying out, Lord, son of David, have mercy on me. My daughter is demon-possessed and suffering terribly. Jesus did not answer a word. So his disciples came to him and urged him, send her away, for she keeps crying out after us. Now, look at this text. Reading through this text, you realize that there is something about a prayer of faith. There is something about the prayer of faith. The prayer of faith is a prayer that knows God has something that only God can give. That's the prayer of faith. The prayer of faith knows God has something that only God can give. In other words, you cannot find an answer to this problem nowhere else. No matter where you go, no matter what you find out there in the world, nothing can give you an answer to the sufferings that you're going through. And this is the situation that we find in this text, where the lady here comes to Jesus Christ because she knows that only God can answer this problem. And in Hebrews 11, verse 6b, it reads here, anyone who comes to him must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who seek him. You got to first believe that God exists if you come to him. And you have to believe that he is the rewarder of those who diligently seek him. So there are two things that we must always remember as we come to God. One, he exists. all right, that God is there. You know, many times we pray and we be like, God, are you there? God, where are you? He is there. And that should be in the back of our minds as we move on in life all the time, no matter what the circumstance is, no matter what the problem is, we should always remember that God exists and that he is the rewarder of those who seek him. And with that in mind, it'll keep your faith strong to be able to stand before God in prayer and be steadfast as you pray. So notice the next thing in the text. Jesus did not answer a word, the Bible says. The woman is after him, asking him because she has this situation that she wants him to come and heal her daughter. But Jesus is not saying a word. All right? Have you had that kind of situation before where you went to God in prayer and you prayed the first time and you prayed the second time and it seemed like God is not answering the prayer? Because you're not getting a response out of the prayer you're praying. You're not getting any results. And sometimes we become very, you know, disturbed by that, or we become very discouraged by that, and we stop praying about that situation. And sometimes we'd be like, you know, maybe God wants it to be this way. Maybe this is how my life was modeled to be. And we leave it so. But this is not the case with this lady. This lady comes to God in faith because she knows that God is the only one who is able to help her. But the Bible is saying here that Jesus did not say a word. He didn't say a word to her. The text also says she kept crying out. All right? She kept crying out. It became very annoying for the disciples. She kept crying out, following them everywhere they went. Lord, Master, please heal my daughter. Please help me. All right? And she kept following him and crying out to Jesus. And it got very annoying. And the disciples said to him, why didn't you just send her away? All right? She keeps nagging at us and following us. But well, you see, Jesus Christ treats us like we would treat our children. All right? How many of you have had nagging kids? All right? Yeah. Troubling kids. And so we go to the store at Walmart and we're walking down the aisle and Angel sees something. She picks it up. Daddy, can you please, 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 100 times, 1,000 times, please, please, please. And she's going on like that. Can you buy this, please, please, please? And she's getting on her knees. And she stops the traffic in the place. Everybody stop now. And they're looking to see what this daddy is going to do for his daughter. So the next thing I'm saying, okay, yes, you can have that. All right? And it's an on and on thing. It gets so bad that sometimes I got to, like, you know, hide to go to the store and run out of the house and creep in the car quietly so they won't know I'm going to the store. And then I'm driving down the road and Andrew picks up the phone. Daddy, where are you? I'm going to the store. Why you didn't tell us? Well, the reason I didn't tell you because you're going to nag me in the store. All right? So that kind of situation. But this woman, Jesus Christ sees her as he sees all of us. We are children of God. And he expects us to nag him when we are having problems. Continuing in prayer to God about a nagging situation is the way to go, folks. When the situation nags you, you nag God. It nags you, you nag God. It nags you, you nag God. And you keep going on and on and on and on until you get a response. You have to understand, this is not a name it, claim it sermon I'm preaching here. It is not a name it, claim it faith movement sermon where you see something out there and you say, I need this, I claim it, and I'm going to get it in Jesus' name. That's not what I'm preaching. I am talking to you about a situation that you have in your life that have caused you to get stuck, and there is no way out. And the only person that you know is able to keep you from falling is Jesus Christ. And I'm saying, you call on the name of the Lord, and he will deliver you. That's what the scripture do. We need to be like Paul. Paul in the Bible says he called on God when he had this thorn in his flesh. He called on God 3 times. 3 times, and at the 3rd time was when God answered and said to him, my grace is sufficient for you, Paul. My strength is made perfect in your weaknesses. But the point here in this sermon is that he did not stop calling on the name of God until he got an answer. And many of us, we don't continue in our prayer life. We don't continue to call on God because we stare at the situation and the situation determining our future. But we need to be looking at God and allow God to determine our future. So we just talked about the woman's prayer. Let's look at the woman's perseverance. In Matthew 15, 24 through 27, it reads, Jesus answered, I was sent only to the lost sheep of Israel. The woman came and knelt before him. Lord, help me, she said. Now, this is what we call determined faith in God. This is what we call determined faith in God. Notice how Jesus is testing this lady's faith. He's testing her faith as he talks to her. Jesus knows how strong this woman's faith is. He's not testing her so that he will understand her, but he's testing her so that the folks around will see what faith is. And so sometimes when we are going through problems and we're praying to God and not getting any response at the moment, but we keep on trusting God, the reason God is holding off on sending out the blessing is so that the folks around you will see what faith is. All right? That's why God will hold off on the blessing for a moment so that people will see how steadfast it is, how good it is to be steadfast in him. But sometimes then we give a definition to what's going on and we walk away from faith and we stop praying. But we need to be steadfast and persevere through the time as we are going through the storm that we are going through at a particular time. So Jesus is testing this woman's faith. But the woman's faith is so strong and so firm as she's going through this situation with Jesus. All right? It's like you go into the store and you take a big bill and you give it to the teller at the counter. It's a $100 bill. So usually what they would do is they would take some kind of mark or some way to test the money to make sure it is right. Okay? And you stand there in confidence because you know that the money you give is legal. So you don't get all disturbed about it and trying to run away because, but you know the money is right, so you stand there and wait. It's what this woman is doing. She knows that her faith is strong. She's standing there in front of Jesus Christ and waiting for a response from him. All right? So notice how she worshiped him and called him Lord. All right? The woman worshiped him and called him Lord. The word Lord in Hebrew is a name for God. All right? It's a name for God, and it means he has authority and he has power over all things. The word Lord comes from the Hebrew word Adonai, all right? And it's talking about God, the God who has authority over all things, the God who is a covenant God. And so this woman is calling Jesus Lord, even though she's a Canaanite woman, but she lives in Israel, and she's calling Jesus Lord. And when she calls him Lord because calling him Lord, it says that he has control and authority over our lives. And many times when we see God as the God who is able, but we see him as the God who is able to protect us, who is able to deliver us out of our circumstances, but we don't see him as Lord. That's two different things, folks. And in order for us to be able to benefit from God, you have to see him also as Lord. Not only as the God who saves, but the God who has authority over our lives. And so when she calls him Lord, she's saying that, Lord, you are my Lord because I'm obedient to you. All right? We ought to be living in obedience to God as we come to him with our requests. So when you say Lord to him, you're saying, God, you have authority. You are the one who have authority over my life. And if God has authority over our lives, we do not come up with decisions on how we're going to live. All right, contrary from what the Word of God is saying. We live in line with the Word of God, and we line up our lives in line with God's Word. And that's what David says in the Psalm, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil because, what, you are with me. And he says, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Why would goodness and mercy follow him? Because why? He's walking in the path of righteousness. And so this is important. Walking in the path of righteousness shows that Jesus is Lord over our lives. And so this woman calls him Lord because he's Lord over her life. And so from this text we can see that being of God comes by receiving faith from God and not from being a Jew. You don't have to be a Jew for you to be able to have blessings from God. This woman had faith, and it is what Jesus Christ capitalized on. Jesus came to the whole world. Even though he told her that I came to the Jewish people, as he said in this text, I came to the Israelites. But the same Jesus said in John 3:16, for God so loved, not the Israelites, the world, that he gave his one and only son, that whoever, not the Israelite, but whosoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. The word belief has to do with faith. Whoever has faith in him will not perish, but have eternal life. And Jesus had made this declaration. And here is a woman who is a Canaanite woman who comes before him in faith and is asking his help. Look in Romans 5, verse 2 through 4. It reads, through whom we have gained access by faith into this grace in which we now stand. And we boast in the hope of the glory of God, not only so, but we also glory in our sufferings, because we know that suffering produces perseverance. Why do we glory in our sufferings? Because sufferings produces perseverance. It means that we persevere through sufferings. We continue on through sufferings, and it's through sufferings that we get to know who we are, because perseverance, the Bible tells us here, that we persevere, and then perseverance builds character, all right? As we persevere, it builds character in us. So when Jesus Christ was resisting this woman from the beginning of her plea, it was to build character in her, all right? To make her faith more stronger. The question is, what do we do when we're going through problems and we prayed and it seems like God has not answered the prayer? What do we do? Do we lose faith in God? No. We need to keep steadfast in God, knowing that he is. And being like the three Hebrew boys, as I said last week, they looked at the fiery furnace and said, we know our God is able to deliver us from this furnace. But even if he doesn't, listen, we will not bow down to Baal. That's the kind of faith that God is asking us to have in him. And persevere, because persevering will build character, and then character will build hope. Once our character is built in God, folks, when problems come, you can stand and hope for tomorrow and have a greater hope for the future, because you know this God who took you through yesterday and brought you to where you are now is the same God who is able to take you through the future. We can be like David, who stood before Saul and told him, he says that when I was in the field, a bear came to eat up my father's crops, or whatever it was, his animals in there. And then he says, I killed it with my bare hands. All right? We can be like that. So he went back to yesterday because his character now was built by the experience he had yesterday. And now in this new circumstance in front of him that stood there and everybody were backing away from it, he counted on what God did yesterday and was strong enough to face the future. God wants us to be strong, as strong in our faith, to be able to hope for something better for the future. And in reply, Jesus pushed a little further. Look at what he says in Matthew 15, verses 26 and 27. He replied, it is not right to take the children's bread and toss it to the dogs. Yet it is, Lord, the woman responds. Look at the woman's response. She said, yes, it is, Lord. I mean, who is this woman to try to challenge Jesus Christ? He says, it's not right. And she says, yes, it is right. All right? You know, so she comes back to Jesus with the word and saying that it is right to do this. And she said, even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from their master's table. So when the woman makes this declaration here, this lady is saying, I'd rather be a dog in your kingdom than being a dignity in the other kingdom. All right? Because what the dogs get from your kingdom is better than what the dignitaries are getting from the other kingdom. I'd rather be a dog in your kingdom, God, than to be a dignity in the world. All right? A lot of folks out there today have walked away from church and they're all in the world doing their own thing, trying to be a dignity in the world. Folks, but this is the place to be. Because in here is where we have peace. In here is where we have grace. Not as the world gives. The peace that God gives is the peace that passes all understanding. And those who come here receive that. And this is why it is so important, being in the presence of God. Now, that's perseverance. That's persistence. That persistent faith that this woman is exercising here. You know, there was a time in my life when I had this medical issue called chronic sinusitis. And I went to the doctor and they said, you have to do surgery to get rid of this. And then I went in Google and tried to study what happens after you do the surgery. And many people who came out of doing surgery for chronic sinusitis give the side effects and stuff like that after the surgery. I said, no, I'm not going to go through this. All right? I said, I'm going to take this to God in prayer. So I went again to another doctor and ran the test for allergy to put 52 needles in my arm and trying to find out which kind of allergy I had. They didn't find any. I said, okay, I know what to do. Took it to God in prayer. And I prayed. And I prayed for, I don't know how long, but it was a long time of nagging God about that situation. I prayed about my son. My wife would tell you, I get up in the morning and I can't breathe. I'm sneezing all over the house. And I took that to God in prayer. I used to come here to church on Sunday morning, standing up on the pulpit and going through that. I said, God, I can't be doing this while I'm serving you. And I went to God in prayer. All because we don't carry everything to God in prayer, the hymn song says. I took mine to God. I nagged God every day about that. And you know what? I nagged God so much that he took away the illness, and I didn't even notice it was gone. I was still praying about it. It was gone. I was still praying about it. And then one day, the Spirit of God just brought it back to me and was like, you remember that your sinus is gone? Oh, yeah. And I told her about it. So the doctors gave me all these medicine. I don't use no more. I don't have the symptoms of chronic sinusitis anymore because God delivered me. And he wants to do that for all of us who place our trust in him and wait on him. God wants to deliver us. But we have to have the faith when we come knowing that he exists and that he is the rewarder of those who seek him. All right? Seek him. A lot of us would take our prayers and send it to the church or give it to somebody else to pray because we think God ain't hearing us. You see, you cannot have people praying for you. It should be the other way around. Instead of you having people pray for you, you should have folks praying with you. There's nothing wrong with you asking people to pray for you or pray with you. It gets wrong when you say pray for me and you walk away because God ain't hearing me, he's probably going to hear you. Who told you that prayer is going to work if you don't have faith enough to receive it? It's going to work when you have faith enough, when you know that God exists and you go to God in prayer. I am telling you, I am a living witness of it. God is going to deliver you if you go to him in prayer and you trust him, trust his word. He'll bring you through. So we just talk about a woman's prayer. We talk about a woman's perseverance. Lastly, let's talk about a woman's peace. In Matthew 15, verse 20, it says, when Jesus said to her, woman, you have great faith. Your request is granted. And her daughter was healed at that moment. Now, look here. Jesus says to this woman, woman, you have great faith. Why? Why? The question is, because she had enough faith to buy from heaven's storehouse. All right? She had enough. And she purchased her peace from heaven's storehouse with the faith that she had. All right? And so God wants us to do that. The Bible says in Hebrews 11:6, the A part of that verse, it says this, listen, and without faith, it is impossible. And without faith, listen, it is what? Impossible to please God. It is impossible to get anything from God. It is impossible to move the hands of God. It is impossible for God to look upon you with favor and give you his peace without faith. it is impossible. And so this is why we need faith. The question now is, how do we get much faith? It's the question that needs answered. All right, you talk about faith a lot, Pastor. How do we get it? How do we get faith? We get faith, it comes only one way. And the one way it comes is by hearing the word of God. All right? Hearing the word of God. Romans 10, 17. Faith comes by hearing and hearing the word of God. That's how we get faith. The church today has gotten weaker and weaker because personal devotions, Bible studies, accountability groups, all that stuff today no longer is relevant to the church. All right? Church has become a norm. The church today has become a label that people wear. All right? It's become a tradition that we do. And we don't dig any further to really tap into God's storehouse and see what he has in store for us. You see, we got to understand one thing, folks, and the one thing we need to understand is this, that we live in a world of good and evil. And God didn't put evil in this world. What God did in the beginning, the Bible says, when he created everything, he said it was what? Good. There was no evil in there. Evil came when we went and took it and turned it over to the devil. And the devil came and put a mixture of good and evil, good and evil. So you're good today, you're evil today, you're good today, you're bad today, and on and on and on. And so God comes back into our world, and the reason he comes is to fight against evil and make us enjoy the beauty of his creation. So I don't see why a God who is so good would want us to go through the problems that we are facing in this life and just look at us and say, well, it was meant to be. That's not true, folks. The problem is the church has gotten lazy. The church does not understand the word of God because faith comes only by hearing. If we're not hearing the word, we're not going to build up faith in us. How often do we read the Bible? How often do we do Bible studies to really get grounded in our faith, to be able to stand against the wiles of the evil one? That's the only way we're going to be able to do that is by receiving much of the word of God. And once we receive enough of the word of God, the Bible says in Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 and 6, trust in the Lord. Listen, trust in the Lord with all your heart, not with a portion of your heart, not with some of your heart, but with all of your heart. God wants it all. Because if you leave a portion of your heart out, the evil one is going to come and make room in there for doubt. So trust in the Lord with what? All of your heart, and lean not on your own understanding. And it says what? In all your ways, not in some of your ways, but in all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will direct your path. That's the God that we come to, all right? And we're asking him to direct our path. We come here, it is by faith that we do this, not by our understanding. Faith is the currency that taps into God's storehouse. And if we want to enjoy the blessings that God has for us, folks, we have to stand strong or stronger in our faith in God, knowing that he is able. And as we do this, let's remember always, I always tell you this, God will never bring you this far and leave you. God will never teach us to swim and let us drown. He'll never build his home in us and move away, or lift us up and let us down. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, all God's people say amen.